I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Everett O'Keefe. He is the founder of Ignite Press. They have the goal to help others share their message and their mission to better the world and their own business. He is a Wall Street Journal and USA Today best-selling author. He published The Power of the Published, How Rapidly Authoring a Book Can Ignite Your Business and Your Life. He's helped 100 best-selling book launches, and he empowers entrepreneurs and thought leaders to build authority through publishing. His work transforms ideas into impact, helping clients grow influence, credibility, with powerful book strategies. Everett, welcome.
Hey, Craig. Thanks for having me on here.
We've been chatting, and you know, the normal deal, I usually spend about 10, sometimes 15 minutes in the green room chatting with a guest. And you've been such a delight. We're like just 30 minutes into this and started. We probably should have hit record a few minutes ago.
Hey, it's easy to have a great conversation with you, Craig.
Well, thanks. That's kind of, I brought you on because I think there's a lot of fears around writing, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of imposter syndrome. We'll get to that in a couple minutes, but I think that's one thing I want people to walk away with is I wanted to write a book for years, and it was just stumbled onto something and tripped and then made a huge mistake, decided to publish two books at once, which I don't recommend.
My hat is off to you. That's one is enough.
But tell me about how you started Ignite Press.
Yeah, there was a good friend named John Writing, who was my Young Life leader when I was in high school.
And hang on, what's Young Life?
Yeah, Young Life is a Christian youth organization, and he was a Young Life leader and helped me on my journey to find Christ, quite honestly. And we, after high school, I didn't see him again for like 20 years. And then 20 years later, we reconnected over a game night of all things. So a friend of it had invited him to a game night and we had a great time, but we started talking and we ultimately decided to found a business together. We founded a marketing company called The Solution Machine. The whole idea was you have a problem, we have a solution. And you are very familiar with marketing, Craig, and we were focused on Main Street marketing, text message marketing, mini websites, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I attended a conference down in Southern California, and I was driving back on a Sunday, and I called John. I said, "Hey, John, we're going to write a book tomorrow." He said, "What? What about?" I said, "I don't know. We'll meet you in the conference room. We'll figure it out." And we decided to write a book. And the main reason was honestly to test a strategy to rapidly write a book and launch a book and make it an Amazon bestseller and do that within a short period of time. So we chose the topic of video marketing with a book called The Video Tractor Beam. And 30 days later, I was staring at that book at Amazon and we were beating John Maxwell, Malcolm Gladwell, a bunch of other authors that I really revere, and then ultimately became a number one bestseller in small business marketing.
Wow.
And that's when John and I both went, maybe there's something here. Maybe we can help our clients, help business owners and executives become best-selling authors and leverage the incredible power of books. So that was the journey. That was book number one. And we're now knocking actually on the door of book number 200. for the company.
Wow. Is John still with you?
He's not. The about a year into this, sadly, I was in San Diego again at a conference from the with this kind of the same series of conferences, and I got a phone call from my wife to tell me that John had passed away. He was playing volleyball and in the middle of a game after church and just collapsed. He was 54, left behind his wife, three children, and I found myself having to pick up and move forward this business without my best friend and my business partner. And it was an incredibly trying time. But Craig, I have to say there was part of your story that resonated with me because you went into the hospital and you had employees and subcontractors reaching out to help you. They came to your rescue. I had a similar experience. We had a network, a mastermind group of other publishers and marketers, and they were saying, "Hey, can we help you? You need some video editing done. You need artwork done. Like, what can we do to help?" And it was incredible. And quite honestly, it resulted in the most difficult and also the most rewarding time of my life going through that.
Isn't it amazing? It's, and I still get choked up about it when I think about what it meant to me. I imagine it means the same to you, where you just see the best of people.
They just and when you encounter people, it's really incredible generosity and kindness that you might not encounter if we're just going around just our day-to-day stuff. Business is going great and whatever, we're not going to see necessarily that opportunity for those people to come around and support. And those people are, this is It's that was 2014, and here we are. It still continues to this day. Those people are still close friends and would drop anything to help. I was reading when I was reading part of your story, it made me think of that moment in my time.
Well, and the thing that hit me when you say it was 54, that's how old I was when I almost died that time. I've had a few brushes with death, but that one was the closest, most credible, most certain. And yeah, that's a young age to die and leave behind a family.
So much left undone, and with young children. I mean, it's hard to leave them at any time, but yeah. So and anyway, we just I decided I was going to continue on with the publishing side of the business. In fact, we doubled down and made that the only thing that we do. And I just look back and I go, oh man, John would be having so much fun with this right now, but. Yeah, so that was obviously a very trying time, but also foundational for the formation of our business because John's heart and soul still lives in what we do because it was his passion to carry other people's messages out to the world through books, the most incredible medium created.
For years and years and years, I looked at people who publish books and I just thought, oh my goodness, I'd love to be one of those people, but I don't think I'm one of those people.
And the stats say all the I've heard crazy studies that say supposedly 90% of people, want to write a book someday. And it's like, okay, that can't really be true, can it? But we know a lot of people desire to. More importantly, if you're in business, you should. Like whether you desire to or not, and you probably do, but you should. I mean, you've seen the impact of what a book can do in a business in your own. And I, it's the most incredible marketing tool ever created, if that is the purpose for creating it. It's the only tool you're going to create now that will outlive you. Talk about a durable piece of a durable tool. Whereas most anything else that we might create to help market our business, a website or a video or whatever other piece of content, probably is, I mean, maybe outdated. I mean, it becomes stale and useless weeks to months from now. Probably won't be useful a year from now, whereas the book will continue to be useful, ongoing.
One of the things, and for those that don't know, one of my books is a business book, one is a personal book. Very different messages, but interestingly enough, they were written very close to each other, and so there's a lot of overlap in some of the illustrations. But one of the things I found very, very helpful in writing the Make Sales Magical was it's about a process that we use called first time offers. It's a low ticket front end offer that leads to your high ticket core offer. As I was writing it, I ended up having to go back in the editorial process because and fix some things because it refined my thinking about what I do.
Yeah, you had, in fact, referencing one of your prior episodes with Aurora from Same Page Publishing, she described it great. She was like, you had a pile of mud with like some gold and silver in it and stuff. And as you're writing your book, you are washing away the mud to reveal the gold and the silver. And it is a refining, it truly is a refining process. And it's one of the benefits of authorship that nobody talks about, that nobody thinks of when they go to publish a book. Is that their thinking will be clarified, their message will be clarified, the way they interact and deal with clients in the future will be clarified. Because suddenly you're having to look at everything you know and the things you want to talk about in a more objective manner. It's a really powerful benefit.
And I mean, I'm definitely better at what I do because I wrote down what I do.
There you go.
So now I'm one, I don't know, maybe I'm weird, maybe I'm not. I wanted to write my books. I didn't want them ghostwritten. And I wanted them to be my words. Because that's, I'm in the business of words, and it's something that I was very picky about. What are the different publishing models? What should people expect?
So there's writing models and there's publishing models, and those are different animals from each other. Like for instance, on the writing side, some people may employ a ghostwriter. Most of our authors are writing their books themselves. Nowadays there's tools like ChatGPT and Claude and other tools out there that really help people with writing. I'm still not a fan of using AI to completely craft the book, but it can be really useful for helping organize the book and organize your thinking.
Let me dig into that. Why shouldn't AI write your book?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, what's the point? I mean, if that's the way it's going to be, I feel like pretty soon we're going to have my AI is going to be reading your AI's book, that type of thing. It's got to have you in it. And AI can be kind of soulless if you're not really careful. But where it's fantastic, and I fully endorse, is helping you brainstorm ideas and perhaps clarify and craft those ideas as long as you're in there. Right, because I'm not interested. If I want ChatGPT's opinion about how to do marketing, I can just go ask ChatGPT. I don't have to get Craig's take on it. But I really want Craig's take because he's an expert and he's been in the trenches. And Craig can understand me and my needs and that type of thing rather than just using ChatGPT. That being said, there are formats coming out, AI, new AI book formats coming out where I will be able to interview you, Craig, in your book. I'll be able to ask you questions directly and have the AI version of you answering for me. There are lots of new things on the horizon.
Wow. And I mean, as an example, to reinforce what you're saying, I mean, I was doing some writing this morning and I was doing kind of the Brits call it a cheeky letter that was making some prehistoric references. And so I would ask ChatGPT, what are three, give me a list of funny ways of saying this? Like, what are some funny ways of saying gossip? But making references to prehistoric times.
That's cool. What'd you come up with?
It was something about the fire circle chat.
Your circle chat. All right. Yeah.
And so it's good for that, but I have two objections to having AI write your book. The first is AI goes out and finds what's already been said. And if you want, hopefully you have something new to say. You have some unique insight. And if you're relying on AI, you're just regurgitating what's already out there. The second reason is I believe AI is not skilled at human connection. And I actually have a proof point. It's a salacious proof point. It's a little saucy here, but I believe if AI was good at human connection, then OnlyFans would not be a viable business model.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting.
I mean, think about the vocabulary. They're not reciting Shakespeare.
It's a good case point. Good case in point.
I mean, there's something the humans bring to the table that's essential, and AI hasn't replaced that. And I don't fully understand what it is, but I can look at it and I know that industry would replace humans in a second
Oh, yeah.
because, if they could, but they still need humans.
Yeah, that's right. Man, no, and I like it, AI definitely has its uses, and obviously it's going to change some things going forward, but it does lack the human connection and the human element. You said something also though about uniqueness. You mentioned imposter syndrome earlier, and a lot of people feel like, why should I write a book? Well, do I have anything unique to say? And one of the things that we know is that it's not just what you're saying, but also how you're saying it, and whether your reader is attuned to hear it from you. I think of the analogy of, the penguins in Antarctica, where there's like a million penguins in some rookery or whatever, and the mama penguin and the baby penguin somehow recognize their calls over all of that and find each other. And I think when it comes to the reader and the writer, that there are readers out there that will never, without you, they will never hear and implement the message you have to share. They may never hear the message, and there's something about the way you're going to say it that they're attuned to hear. So when people ask themselves, who am I to write this book? Sometimes the real question is, who are you to withhold it?
Yeah.
Because if you don't share it, well, how will they hear it?
Yeah. So let's talk about the writing process. So you wisely divided it into two things. There's different writing models, and then there's different publishing models.
Correct.
What are the writing models?
Yeah, I mean, there's the old-fashioned way of, writing a book organically, which is probably how you wrote your two books. You had those stories in your head, your experiences, and you probably were able to power through on both of those because you had some clarity and passion, I'm guessing, on both of those. Amazing you did them both side by side. A lot of people, though, will benefit from a book coach that can help them craft organize their thoughts and move forward, and also be a point of accountability, because a lot of people start books and never finish. I can't, you know, I'd cringe to find out how many books are on hard drives or flash drives somewhere, at this point that will never see the light of day because they didn't have any accountability. So I'm a huge fan of book coaches, and we refer to them quite often. Of course, ghostwriters are there, and I don't think that that is a negative thing at all. A ghostwriter is going to interview content out of you to get to the essence of what you're trying to say, and then a good one's going to write it in your voice as they go.
One of the best books I read was, oh, what was the title of it? It was Ross Perot's, or not Ross Perot's, Sam Walton's
His
book.
biography.
Yeah, and it was definitely ghostwritten. I think he had already contracted cancer, and somebody said, you need to get a book out. And so he had somebody write it, but I felt like I was listening to Sam Walton, and it's just Made in America. That's the name of the book. Made in America. It's a brilliant, brilliant book that I'd recommend anybody read. It's super well written, and it reminded me of Walmart of days past, when you go in there and it was clean and the employees were happy to be there and the aisles were wide open. And but just talked about that. And it was a brilliant book. I felt like I was sitting in the room with Sam Walton, but I know it was written by somebody else.
And then there are other writing models as well. So you had a prior guest talking about interviewing the book out of you, not so much as a ghostwriter, but more maybe, where it's a more transcript-based book. It's based on the transcript of that interview, and maybe it's been written through to clean it up some. I'm a huge fan. There's another model called the FAQ SAQ model. This is where you, and this is a perfect business book. You think of the frequently asked questions of your industry, those things people ask you all the time that you could just rattle off an answer in a heartbeat. Write down the frequently asked questions of your business. Then write down the should have asked questions. These are the questions, if people really knew what they were doing, they would ask you to go deeper. And grab your phone and dictate for 5 or 10 minutes on each one of those questions. That in using that method, you can create the core content for your book in a couple hours and get that, have that transcribed. You've got apps that'll do that for you now. That can be the foundation. That is the way we wrote our first book. We wrote the Video Tractor Beam around the frequently asked questions of video marketing. And it did everything we wanted it to do. Became a best-selling book. It attracted our first five-digit clients. It really stepped up our game and gave us access where that we wouldn't have otherwise had. And that was just on the back of that model, that frequently asked question, should have asked questions model. And then let's not leave aside repurposed content. So many people already have a keynote speech that they've been doing. They have blogs that they've been writing. They have training videos that can be transcribed. That is low-hanging fruit and can make a fantastic book in a short period of time.
So when I was working on both books, so I didn't write them simultaneously. I wrote Hope That Won't Die basically over Christmas of 2021. And then I wrote Make Sales Magical in like July, August of 22. But one of the things one of my mentors said, I had Hope That Won't Die up to like 45,000 words. And he said, Craig, 20,000. Like, really? And he's like, do you want anybody to read your book? 20,000.
Great advice.
Yeah.
Great advice. Our target market, we like to see 25 to 40,000 words. And that should be a great relief to most authors out there. You do not, this book does not need to be your opus. Your first book is not, not the big legacy piece, though your legacy is in it. There may be time to write your big legacy piece later, but 25 to 40,000 words, so it is long enough to get your point across, bring about the results that you're looking for your reader. It is thick enough to be an actual book, and it is short enough to read on a cross-country flight now that we're back to doing such things.
Yeah, and somebody who read Make Sales Magical. So I didn't get down to 20,000. I think one's at 21,000, the other's at 22,000. I had trouble chopping anything more. But
That's
that's
hard.
also the
Cutting is always harder than adding.
but that's also the refining process. You figure out what the most important things to say are.
Right. Yeah. And also that you don't have to put everything in there, right? They can come to you for more. Like what a P.T. Barnum, always leave them wanting more. Is that who said that?
That's who said that,
Yeah.
yep.
Yeah.
Well, I had somebody who read Make Sales Magical. He boarded a flight in Philly, and by the time he had landed in Houston, he had read the entire book and had notes on it.
There you go. That's perfect. You knew it was the right length then.
Yeah. So now let's talk about publishing models. So once it's written, then I'll just be honest, people ask me, Craig, did you self-publish? I'm like, not really, but I don't know what to call it. I own all the content. I'm now in one book I make 67 cents per sale, but that's just because a bad decision made by the publisher on color photos. But basically I get all the royalties on my book.
And so let's run through this. First, traditional publishing is not what people think it is. They think that traditional publishing means book tours, going on TV, getting all this media attention, and getting a big fat advance, before. The truth of traditional publishing is that first, they don't want you unless you have a huge following already. You need to have 25,000, 50,000 followers, a really established track record, huge email list, things like that, or they just don't want to take a chance with you. When you do go that way, and this is a big deal, you're selling your intellectual property to them. They own your intellectual property, and you're going to be limited in how you use that in the future. Plus that publishing contract is probably going to give the publisher first rights of refusal on any sequel or derivative works, and that can be a real challenge down the road. Also, with traditional publishing, you're getting paid too little for your own book. Very often pennies, almost certainly less than a dollar per book, and you are paying too much for your own book. We see lots of authors paying their book for, half to two-thirds of the retail price when really realistically you could probably have it for 20% of the retail price, depending on the math of things. The real kicker for those in the business world and those people who just want to see their book see the light of day is time. Going the traditional publishing route, even from the point at which the publisher takes it on, can be 18 to 36 months before it comes to life. And for any of us in the world of business, that is just an eternity. And I can't imagine spending all that time to create something so amazing for my business, but wait a couple years for it to actually be published. And what's going to change in those couple years, right? With AI and all of that. So traditional publishing definitely has its challenges. Self-publishing, I'm a huge fan of self-publishing because you have complete creative control, you own everything, all royalties flow to you, you get your books at cost, but you also have to do everything. And if you do any one thing wrong, then the whole thing can be a disappointment. Get a bad title, get a or a great title, but a bad cover, write the most incredible, insightful thing in the world, but if your book layout is poor, people may not read it. There's just so many different ways to make mistakes. In between is something called hybrid publishing. And hybrid publishing, we like to think of as the best of both worlds. But even in hybrid, there's different kinds. One kind of hybrid publishing, Craig, has the author pay a premium so that they get their books cheaper or they get a higher royalty rate. But the hybrid publisher still owns the IP, owns the content. The way we do it, and perhaps the way you had it done as well, is we do this where we just set up everything up in accounts our clients own. So it's super clear. They own everything, all royalties flow to them. They get their books at cost, which could be as low as like $2.50 per book. Royalties could be as high as $8 or $9 per book. And they have complete freedom as to how to use those books. Whether they want to sell them back of room when they're speaking, give them to clients, put one on every seat if they're speaking at an event. There really are better options out there for people. And again, I'm still a huge fan of all the options. They all have a place. But for most of us who are writing books to further our business, to share our mission and message, perhaps, this hybrid model can work very, very effectively.
And one of the things that I found beneficial in the process was working with experienced editors that had a few books under their belt, and they were able to point out little things that made a huge difference. And I think one of the things, and this is always a problem when you're presenting your own content, you know everything, and you assume everybody knows what you know, and so you make some jumps. You say something, they're like. And the editor came back to me on a couple of points, Craig, We need to connect. They actually knew what I was saying, but they said we need to connect the dots for the reader.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is excellent. And yeah, there's also just incredible value of have eyeballs besides your own going through the content. Nobody should ever edit their own content. Nobody should ever lay out their own content. Though you need to have professionals doing those, like, because if you do a substandard job in any one part of that process, then the whole thing will be perceived substandard. And that's just the opposite of what any of us want,
Right.
right? Just the opposite.
Well, I mean, just as an example, somebody who used to work for me, a lady named Libby, who actually ran my business when I was in the hospital, she's by far the best editor I've ever worked with. I mean, just amazing. But I couldn't have her author anything because she was also the editor. And I saw times where she would write something and send it to me and say, Craig, this is ready to go. And I'd find things in it.
Yeah.
That and we're talking about the best editor I've ever worked with. I mean, I referenced there was one thing where I referenced Jeffrey Immelt, and she comes back with the edits and she said, it looks like he usually goes by Jeff. I mean, she would look up things like that and say, don't call him Jeffrey, he goes by Jeff most of the time. Former GE CEO, for those who don't know. And
Yeah,
but
he's a
yeah,
jerk.
she couldn't edit her own work.
And nobody ever should. The best ghostwriters need editors, and what you just pointed out, the best editors need editors too.
Yeah.
Super important. Now, one of the things that people probably aren't familiar with is print-on-demand publishing. And is it okay if we can cover that real quick?
Let's close with that because I think that's a really good, that was a surprise to me. So what is print-on-demand publishing?
Yeah, I mean, for people out there, print on demand means simply that Amazon doesn't house an inventory of your books. They house the files for your books. And when someone orders your book, tomorrow morning, Amazon prints and ships that one copy of the book. It is a modern day miracle. And they even do it with hardcover. It's really incredible. And they do it very affordably. I call print on demand the author's best friend because my book, The Power of the Published, for instance, it's 180 some pages, okay? 40,000 words. My author copy cost for this with print on demand publishing is about $3.10. And with print on demand, you can order one copy. Your minimum order is one. It's not a case, it's not a pallet, and you can do anything you want. Give it away, sell it, at any price, do whatever you like with it. And for those people who are speakers, it's huge because, they can have the book just drop shipped to meet them at their speaking destination instead of having to stuff it in a suitcase or the trunk of a car. It also means that it's possible to make special editions of a book. If you are speaking for a key client and you want a special edition, that can be done. If you need to update the book because something changed next year, it can be updated. And ultimately, gone are the days where you had to buy a pallet of books to get your books at a reasonable price. And I won't visit your house 10 years from now and go out to your garage and find you still have half a pallet of books still sitting there. So this is why I call print on demand your best friend.
It was one of the biggest surprises, and it made me realize it really democratized authorship.
Yes.
It's all of a sudden today, anybody can be an author. And if you sell 10 copies or you sell 10,000 copies, it doesn't matter. You have the tools to do it.
And to benefit from authorship and all its incredible, incredible ways it can help you personally and your business.
Everett, we got to wrap up, but that would be a great another discussion because I know you mentioned you've had clients go from publishing a book to speaking on the world stage. We'll cover that in the next episode, but for those that want to be, if not on a world stage, but harness the power of publishing, how did they reach you?
Super easy. Just go to ignitepress.us, ignitepress.us, and there's a button there to schedule a consultation directly with me. And then I also put a link together for your listeners. It's at mypodcastperk.com, mypodcastperk.com, where they can get a free copy of The Power of the Published,
Oh,
where
that's
in my book, where we
incredible.
cover a lot of this.
Oh my goodness, thank you. Thanks for providing that.
Yeah, my pleasure. And thanks for having me, Craig.
Well, Everett, this has been a great discussion. We went way over, but and I could keep going, but we should wrap up. Thanks for coming on Leaders and Legacies.
My honor.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.